Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.
Hi, this is Melanie Crystal, and I'm here with you with the Reimagining Success podcast. So glad that you're able to join today. Today, I'm excited to have a special guest here, Chassie Melvin, who's a mechanical engineer. And you know how I love STEM and STEM ladies in STEM. So I'm excited to have her here with me today to talk about being in STEM. And Chassie works for a government agency. So welcome, Chassie.
Hello.
So I've talked to you guys about being in STEM and how I've been able to be a chemical engineer working in industry. So I'm excited to talk to another fellow engineer, female engineer in STEM, just to learn about her journey and to share her experiences with you. But first, today, I want to also share with you our crystal for the day. The crystal for today is to be open to reinventing yourself. Don't be afraid to pivot. So we'll weave that in as we talk to Chassie about being open to reinventing yourself. So Chassie, first I want to just introduce you to the audience and help them get to know you a little bit. Tell us about how you got interested in your STEM career. What prompted you to want to become an engineer?
So it started back in high school. My favorite subjects were always math and science. I was really good at both. Physics, math, took, you know, calculus, all of the calculuses in high school. And I had an uncle who worked at a construction company. And he was an architect, but there were engineers, like civil engineers, that worked for him. And I was doing like a little internship at his office. And people were like, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I was like, I don't know, maybe a veterinarian. I like animals or something. And they were like, well, what do you like in school? And I was like, oh, I really love physics. I have a great physics teacher. And math. And they said, well, sounds like engineering. And I was enjoying the work that I was doing with the company and shadowing all of them. And so I said, okay. So then we start talking about, well, what kind of engineering? And I was like, don't really like chemistry. Don't want to be electrocuted. Civil engineers don't make as much money. Okay, I think I'll do mechanical. And so I became, that's how I got into STEM, like just that simple.
Wow, that's really impressive. And I always say and know how important it is when you expose younger students and young people to engineering and to STEM, that opens their eyes so that they can see what the possibilities are. So your internship with your uncle's company helped you to see, oh, this is an option for me. Yeah. I can do this as well. So I think that's really important. That's something that we all need to remember, to just expose our kids and expose our youth to the opportunities within STEM fields and STEM careers.
Yeah, and that was also a good point. One of the reasons why I chose mechanical too, because they told me, counseled me and advised me that it would be more flexible. Mm-hmm. Mechanical engineers can do a lot of different things, including if I wanted to go into construction and kind of civil engineers, those principles will be there. So yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is important to get that exposure and career counseling. So
right. Well, good. So once you decided that you wanted to do mechanical engineering, and how'd you decide, like, where you wanted to go to college and what the next steps were for you?
So that same uncle and my aunt, they lived in Birmingham. And so they took me on a college tour. We went from Birmingham south. We were going to Atlanta the long way. So we left Birmingham. We stopped south in Montgomery, Alabama State. We were going to Tuskegee. We were going to Auburn. And then when we got to Atlanta, we were going to go to the AU Center. And went to Alabama State. It's like, went to Tuskegee. And I fell in love. Like, I wasn't even on a campus. Like, we were driving, you know, on beside the camp, the road beside the campus. And I was just like, oh, yeah, this is it for me. I'm done. Where's my application? and so that's how I decided. Then we left there. And we went to Auburn. Well, we got off the interstate. And I was like, I don't know why we're here. I'm going to Tuskegee. And so Mom was like, you really don't want to look? I was like, no, I'm going to Tuskegee. And so that's how I got to Tuskegee. Just college tour and just fell in love immediately.
Wow. And that reminds me of just how important HBCUs, for those who aren't familiar, historically Black colleges and universities are for African-Americans and all people who are interested in college. Tuskegee is an HBCU, and you just felt right at home there once you went there.
And it was the summertime. Nobody was there. It was spring break, maybe, but nobody was there. The campus was empty for the most part, but it was just the campus itself. So I didn't have, you know, campus life there. There was nobody on the yard stepping or, you know, doing all that different world type stuff. It really was just an at-home feeling when I got there. So it was the right choice for me.
Yeah, that's good. And I didn't attend a HBCU. I went to PWI, which stands for Predominantly White Institution. But, you know, HBCUs have also been in the news recently because Deion Sanders was at Jackson State,
which is my hometown.
Oh, yes.
I grew up at Jackson State.
So that's also probably why Tuskegee felt at home, too.
Oh, right? For sure.
Yeah. Being around Jackson State. But it just reminded me of how, you know, his influence at Jackson State really has, you know, put HBCUs on the map, I guess, in the sports media and all, but HBCUs have been around for, you know, years and hundreds of years, huh? Mm-hmm. Hundreds of years. And they've been really a pivotal and important institutions for minorities, African Americans to get into college, get through college, a place where they could be accepted and able to thrive and become successful. And get into STEM career fields like mechanical engineering.
Yeah, they were the first schools we were allowed to go to in a lot of places. So, yeah.
Yep. So that was, you know, really important to African American success in this country. So once you got to Tuskegee, what'd you think? How was the course load? How was the program? Was it hard?
It was. I talk to parents often, and I tell them, you know, college is more than about academics. You know, I have a lot of friends. They talk about they're not going there just wasting my money. They ain't got, you know, all A's and B's, and I'm like, you know, school is about getting adults. Getting children and young adults ready for real life. So, yes, it was hard. The coursework was hard. I was just talking to my cousin today. She has a freshman in college, and he is struggling. And I said, you know, my first semester in college did not go well. My course load, it was all wrong. I think my midterm grade was like a 30 something. Like, there was no extra credit. There was no ability to pass this class at midterm, like, at all. And so, yeah, it was hard. You know, just just figuring out how to study, because in high school I never had to study. So in college I had to study. I had no study skills. The managing of your own self now, like, there's nobody there making sure you go to class. Right.
Nobody's saying, get up.
Yeah. Get your butt out this house. So it was this whole full experience of college, me learning how I learned and me figuring that out and me asking for help and me managing my time and getting to class and, you know, the networking with other students there. Asking for help, the study groups, those relational skills. We just talked about earlier about how these kids today, they socialize on social media versus, you know, back then we had to really network and connect, form study group and partnerships, alliances, if you will, just to get through college. Right. So, yeah, long story short, yes, college was hard.
And it sounds like you had to reinvent yourself. So once you got there, you had to do things differently and be open to changing and reinventing.
Absolutely.
How you did things.
Absolutely. So. I guess, yeah, it was the first reinvention. Right. You know, because you're not under your family, your parents' watchful eye. You can try things and do things and see if it works for you. You can do dumb stuff and you can do important things that shape, you know, who you will be as an adult, and you will begin to figure out what you like and how you like it and what you want to do and that kind of thing. So yeah, it really is that first reinvention from, you know, childhood to adulthood. Right. So
yeah, I remember my college experience being tough too. I mean, I majored in chemical engineering and it definitely was not easy. And there were weed out classes where they were tough because they wanted all those who couldn't make the cut to be weeded out of the program. So I got past all of those. So yeah, it's not easy. But one thing I like to tell, especially students who are in college or thinking about college, or even those who dropped out of college and might want to go back, those 4 years that I spent getting my engineering degree set me up for, you know, a 50-year career. Yeah. So you put in that hard work and that time for those 4 years. Once I got out, I was set. You know, I didn't have to worry about, can I get a job? I just had to worry about where I'm going to get my job, where, you know, where I'm going to work, what I'm going to do. So all going to college and getting a college degree is wonderful and important for everybody. But I will say, by me getting, you know, seeing some of the business majors who had it a little bit easier at the time, or, you know, maybe some of the folks in the liberal arts who had it a little bit easier at the time, I was like, oh, I wish I had that. But I can see the difference now that, you know, once I got out, it was much easier for me to secure employment, get a job with the degree that I had. So those 4 years of struggle is worth it because it makes it the next 50 years or maybe I won't work that long, but 30 years or 40 years of career a lot easier just to get in and have a good career.
I tell young kids that I talk to and counsel, you choose your heart. You know, college is so hard, studying is so hard. Oh, duh, duh. Well, you choose your heart. You can go and choose, you know, and it doesn't have to be a 4-year college. It can be a skill, you know, a skill type of thing where you go to become a plumber, mechanic, and, you know, which are very important jobs, the HVAC specialist, you know, all of these wonderful, you know, programs where you, a welder, just had a girlfriend of mine, her son chose not to go to college because it wasn't a route for him. He went to welding school. Mm-hmm. I think it's a 9 or 10 month program, set himself up for, you know, a super career.
Right. It all stems.
But you choose your heart. Either you're going to dedicate yourself to some sort of study or skill set, or, you know, you choose and, you know, make a living for yourself and be able to take care of yourself, or you can choose another heart, which is, you know, a harder work life, you know, mm-hmm. working really hard for less money,
right.
you know, right. not being able to control your own destiny. So, in some ways, so you choose your heart.
That's a great saying. Yeah, I hadn't heard that, but it's so, so, so true. So let's move on to your work life. So how'd you, once you graduated with your mechanical engineering degree, how'd you decide where you were going to work?
I went home, back home for a couple years. I had an open job offer at a place I had interned. And some of the other places, and they had offered it early, so they had the cutoff early. Mm-hmm. And some of the other places I had interviewed did not, it was later, the interview was later, and so it was just, it didn't line up. And so I was like, I can't graduate without a job. So I chose that place, that company. It was a private company. And so I chose there, and the other company that I wanted to work for, they came later. Hey, you want this job? And I was like, I already committed to someone else. So I did that for a couple years, and then I ended up starting with the government agency that I work for now. And I chose that job primarily because because I actually didn't interview for it in college. I would not interview for it. But circumstances changed, and I interviewed with them. And what drew me to them is that I have the ability to do a lot of different things, a lot of different types of work, a lot of different types of engineering work or technical work. You know, you have safety, IT, you just have so many different things. You can work on different equipment. You just had so much variety. There was the possibility for variety in the type of work, but also the locations, because, you know, government agencies, you can transfer from one to the mm-hmm. other. So that was really appealing to me, the variety of work in locations, because that was something that I really wanted to do. Like, I didn't want to be doing the same thing forever mm-hmm. and ever and ever and ever. So mm-hmm. that's how.
So you wanted the option to reinvent yourself again.
I really did. I was thinking about that and very excited about that. Even during my interview, I remember we talked about like corrosion. You know, like, oh, you can do, you know, corrosion work, or, you know, you can quality and safety. Like, it was just all of these different mm-hmm. things that you could do. You could use one thing and just kind of make a building block of your career. And so, yeah, that was really, mm-hmm. like I said, appealing to me. So
good. And you've taken advantage of doing that?
I have. There have been times that I feel like, oh, why am I still doing this? For sure. I'll take a skill from one product to the next. So there's been a variety of products that I've worked on, but sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm doing the same thing for this different product.
Mm-hmm.
But in hindsight, it has been building. It's still a building block, like I said. And so, but it also has afforded me the opportunities to do different stuff. I've left kind of strictly mechanical type things, and got the opportunity to work with data and logistics. I've got to do, you know, testing. And currently my position is kind of like an HR position, basically,
mm-hmm.
like I have a personnelist type position.
Mm-hmm.
So I've lived in three different locations, and I have had the variety of positions too. So yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
And then, so what are some of the challenges that you found, working within, you know, being an engineer, mechanical engineer?
I think the hardest thing has been not being jaded with work life. And I don't know if that's just engineering, but I think when we talk about technical, it doesn't always fall at the top. It's not always the top priority, right? Because we have cost, we've got schedule. And so one of the frustrating things for me early in my career when I was young and gung-ho and passionate and ready to, you know, fight and knock down every doors and stand up for what is right. And I was just like, this product must work this way. And they're like, that's not in the budget. You know?
Yes.
And so that was really frustrating early on, that, you know, that we had to consider cost in what we were doing. And I'm like, if we do it right now, it'll be cheaper. If we do it this way, we're going to have to come back and make all of these modifications, and it's going to cost us so much. And so that was one thing that was really tough. The other thing is, you know, it's hard work. Like, it's maybe physically not hard, but it is, I mean, you know, there have been times where my brain just was smoking. Just, you know, with the complexity of issues, the quantity of complex issues, that can be very challenging. Figuring out the best solution when you do have to consider cost, when you do have to work with people who are thinking more about the cost. And so over the years, that has gotten a bit easier for me because now I know that cost is a factor. And so I don't get so uptight about, well, the performance piece of it. So engineering is hard. It doesn't get easier. Even when your brain gets a little older, it doesn't get easier. So yeah, those are probably, working in an all-male field has had some challenges. I've definitely run into some kind of chauvinistic personality types. That was interesting and tough, because with that type of personality type, it really doesn't matter. You can, you know, I'm an assertive person, and so like to go toe to toe with someone who's chauvinistic, it doesn't move the needle. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make them more accepting and more thoughtful of what their behavior is. That doesn't work. They just double down like, yeah, women are, you know, B words, you know, when you become, you know, assertive and assert yourself. And if you try the opposite end of the spectrum and you try to be really polite and accommodating, that doesn't work
right,
either.
And they'll try to walk all over you. Then. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's like this, that has been a little tough too. So.
Yeah, I've definitely dealt with that as well, you know, being in a male-dominated field as well. And you know, I've learned to become, I had to learn to become more assertive and speak up and put my voice out there. And I know how to do that now, but that's not something that was just natural for me in the beginning. But yeah, it's just, this is another reason why it's so important to just encourage more women, more females to get into these positions, because they will do just as well as any guy.
Exactly.
And actually, it's needed. The balance of genders really helps organizations become even more successful.
Agreed.
So, you know, it's always important to encourage those, you know, to step out into those fields. But also, it was interesting how you mentioned about cost and balancing cost versus the technical aspect of whatever you're working on. When I was working in projects at a plant, it was the same thing. It's like if you have a Lamborghini can get from point A to B, but so can a Honda. Mm-hmm. Honda can get you from point A to B too. So when I was doing projects, it was the balance of, okay, are we going to, you know, have all the bells and whistles, or are we just going to have a few of them? And a lot of that was depending on the cost and the budget of the project and what we had at that time. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm laughing because I'm thinking about one of the projects that I had. We had to build, what was desired was a Lamborghini.
Mm-hmm.
We had a Pinto budget, okay, and we had to build a Lamborghini in a Pinto factory. And so, you know, that is, you know, the challenge of it. And sometimes it can be really fun, especially, you know, you get your brain, all that, you know, strategy and, you know, you analytical thinking and stuff. And sometimes you know, you crash and you burn and you can't really find a viable solution.
Mm-hmm.
And, right. You know, that's disappointing. You gotta, you know, take your ball, go home and regroup.
Right. Yeah. But that's where innovation is important, because you have to use the innovation piece to kind of fill in those gaps. And, you know, we do it every day. Companies do it every day. So it can be done.
Yep.
So I want to pivot a little bit and talk now. You've had a long, successful career, and you mentioned that you're moving more into a, like, kind of an HR role and trying to reinvent the next phase of your career. So tell me a little bit about that.
So I have been at my job for nearly 17 years, just a few months shy of 17 years, and I'm figuring out what I want to be when I grow up. So I've got, I don't know, 13 or so years left on my career before I'm retirement eligible. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to be an engineer anymore. It's like, I don't want to look at no more data and no more specs and figure none of that stuff out.
So you want to reinvent and do something different.
I do. And so I have been, I took this job, like I said, I'm in personnel now, to kind of figure out some stuff to see what is, see if I like this and if I want to stay. But also, I think it will help me in other positions. You know, you get to know people and stuff, network. But yeah, I haven't figured it out. I am in the process of figuring out, like, I have a theme or mission statement, but I don't know how that translates to a career and a job. And I don't know what that means. Like, I know what I want to do. I know how I want the job to feel. I know how I want to contribute in the space and how I want that to feel, but I just don't know what that job title and where that job is. Mm-hmm. So that's what I am in the process of figuring out, what I want to do when I grow up. But I will say about STEM, a shameless plug, is I really think that STEM sets us up to do a lot of different things, to move in different areas. Because, you know, critical thinking, it gives us these certain skills. Like, critical thinking is a big one. Mm-hmm. The ability to analyze data and decision making in that whole process. So I think those are really important ones. And for engineers, we're not thought to have really great soft skills, networking, communication, verbal and nonverbal, written. But I think I have done a pretty decent job of working on my soft skills. So I think engineering sets you up to be able to pivot, because you can do other things. Those, you talk about the business school, people in the business schools, they can't go to be an engineer without going back to get a degree. Right. But we can, you know, with with little to no training can go and do those other types of.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, the STEM fields and the engineering degree for sure can set you up to do a whole, you know, host of roles. And even myself, I've shifted more into the business side within my company as an engineer. And, you know, that's been really fun, you know, interesting, different. And I attribute that to my engineering degree, even though it's more the business side. And the critical thinking skills are transferable. So you can use those in all aspects of business, working a company, even starting your own company. I know engineers who've done that as well. They start their own firms. They go into real estate. I mean, it just opens you up to so much. It opens you up to the opportunity to be able to reinvent yourself multiple times, you know, throughout your career and throughout your life.
Yeah, and you've done the hardest work you've ever gonna do being through engineering school. So
right. So hey, that's, you know, you can do anything.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Chassie, so much for being here with me and having this conversation. And once again, I want to remind everyone that the crystal for the day is be open to reinventing yourself. And you can do that multiple times throughout your career and throughout your life. And once again, thank you for listening to Reimagining Success Podcast. And I look forward to hearing from you again. And I'm Melanie Crystal. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download the Shiny Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download the Shiny Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.